But to come here to a safe space and be appreciated is great, man. And this is the vibe. So I want to do that shit 1,000 times, 10,000 times.
I hope you do.
Yeah, see, this is my mentality, the Decca mentality. Like, yo, Brooklyn, yo, we here.
Go, spreading what? It. That's so sick.
Layers, the unintentional culture of snowboarding by Nitro Snowboards. For our new movie, Layers, we interviewed important people and personalities that contribute to the global community of snowboarding. And since most of these interviews were too long to show in the documentary, and they were so interesting, we created this podcast so you can enjoy them in full length. So strap in and let's go. Let's jump straight into the episode with the founders of Hoods to Woods, Brian Pawpaw and Omar Diaz.
Can you introduce yourself, your name, where you're from, what you do?
Sure. My name is Brian Decca Pawpaw. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I'm a visual artist, motion graphic designer, snowboarder, and I am the executive director and co-founder of Hoods to Woods Foundation.
Sick. How'd you start snowboarding? How'd you get into snowboarding?
I got into snowboarding like around 1997. I was in college. I went to Parsons School of Design, and I had classmates who were snowboarders. So they would always talk about snowboarding. And I said, yeah, I kind of heard about it. I saw a hip-hop video by Naughty by Nature back in the day. Song was called Feel Me Flow, and it had people in the half pipe, and I remember I was like, yo, that's kind of dope, but like, who does that? I don't know anyone. So, you know, my classmates, they were like, yo, you got to try it, come out. And I said, nah, I don't do that stuff, man. I'm from the hood. I ain't messing with that, you know? And they're like, nah, you can't knock it until you try it. So said, what the hell? One day, went to a store in New York City called PSNY, that's no longer open. And I was just browsing, looking at snowboards. Sales guy comes over, he says, oh, you interested in snowboarding? I said, yeah, my friends talk about it. I'm just looking, but I don't even know how to get to the mountain or whatever. He's like, yo, we got buses running. I said, you got buses going to the mountain? Yeah, Hunter Mountain, upstate New York. So I was like, really? How much? I think back then it was like maybe $70, like round trip.
Pass included. You
know? Yeah.
Pass
included. And I had, my first graphic design job, you know, learning graphics in Parsons. So I had some money. And I said, yeah, that's cool, but I don't have a board. Oh, you can rent it or you can buy a board. And say, how much is this board? Oh, this board is like $450, $500, $600. I don't know. He says, oh, we got like last year's model. And he's like, oh, look, you get this whole setup, board and binding. $400. All right, you need a jacket? This is last year's jacket. But I think it was like, what was the name of that brand? Foursquare.
Yeah.
It was like a freaking light blue Foursquare.
Oh, the dopest.
Navy Foursquare pants. Fucking no helmet, no goggles. Didn't even talk about goggles. Left the fucking store with all his snowboard gear to go on the bus upstate New York tomorrow. No idea. Didn't get a lesson. Just walked up to the hill watching people.
Solo.
And I'm just like, all right, I got to do this. And I was late for the class, for the lesson. And I just tried to strap in, busting my ass, falling down all day. And finally, I got into a class, snowboarding class. You know, but first day always sucks for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next day, I woke up in the morning. And I was like, yo, my neck hurt, my back, yo, I'm just sore, I can't lift my head. I was like, yo, why the fuck did you go out there and do it? Why? I said, you know what? No, I'm not going back. And I looked in the corner, and I saw the board in the corner, posted up like this board, and I'm like, bro, you made the investment. You're fucking going back to the mountain. So I just kept going to Hunter Mountain multiple times, and maybe like the third trip I started getting it, and like the fourth trip I was dialed in, and my fifth trip snowboarding ever was here at Mountain Creek, and that's where Eileen turns.
So he like turned, that's the key. He turned the key right there.
I will never forget that. It was nighttime. I went out with some coworkers, and I said, yo, I got it. And after that, I said, yo, now I can go anywhere. After that, done.
Set for life. Yes. It is that same, that is that feeling that when you get that toe side to heel side the first time, it's mm-hmm. like, oh, just gates open, you're like, I can go anywhere. For, it's like getting yes. the keys to your first car or something.
Yes.
You can go anywhere.
Real talk.
So sick. I mean, then you're hooked, right? From then on, you're hooked. And then you're still living in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And you've never left the city. Have you always lived there?
Yeah, always
in New York.
In New York City. I never lived anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know? And if I traveled, it would be like to Pennsylvania,
yep.
upstate New York to visit family. I'd go down to New Orleans and Louisiana. But I never been to like mountains or like West Coast
yep.
type of situation. So everything was just East Coast. And then like my second season of snowboarding, this was during the dot-com era. So my buddy and I, John Schmidt, shout out John Schmidt. He was like, yo, look, let's do this website. I'll do the programming. You do the design. You're good with the design. It's dope. And we won a contract with a company. And before that, he said, if we win this contract, let's go snowboarding for a month.
Sick.
So when he said that, I was like, nah, this is no. Because in my mind, from my family, it's like, no, you work.
Yeah,
you get a job. No one goes on a fucking
a little hiatus.
Snowboarding trip for like a month. Are you crazy? That's like for rich people or whatever.
Yeah.
So he's like, dude, trust me. And we ended up winning the contract, and we got the money, and we just booked a cabin out in Mount Baker, like near Glacier,
yep.
Snoqualmie. And then that was my first West Coast big mountain experience. So when we got to Glacier, I was looking around like, bro, where the fuck is the snow? Where's the snow? It's like, there's no snow on the ground.
Yeah.
They said, yo, snow is up in elevation.
Yeah.
I said, what? I don't know what you're talking about, because I'm an East Coast snowboarder.
There's no elevation.
So they said, you'll see tomorrow morning. So get up in the morning, load up the car, start heading up 542. And I'm like, man, I came all the way out here. This shit is going to be whack. This is... Why? I'm gonna be out here for a month. It's fucking no snow. It's probably icy, da 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 da. So we fucking start going up, 542, and like 30 minutes later, you start seeing little bits of snow. Uh-huh. Another 10 minutes, more snow. Next thing you know, trees covered, like you're in a whole another
world.
Environment. So I'm in the car like tripping, like, yo, this is crazy. So we told you, man, we told you. This is Mount Baker. This is like the freaking capital. This is like roots.
Everything.
Nobody, you don't understand. You know what I mean? So we get up there, and when you make that turn,
yeah.
when you come into the parking lot,
yeah. that last
and when
turn,
I
last
saw
turn.
Mount Shuckson, I saw like chair six going up the face, and I was like, my jaw dropped, and I said, holy shit, I'm gonna die out here, man. Yo, this is not what I'm accustomed to on the East Coast. And stayed out there for a month, had a great time. And, you know, it was just trippy because you could hitchhike on 542. Mm-hmm. And they used to have like long dreadlocks and people would just stop, pick you up. Where you from? Brooklyn. What? Yo, bro. Oh, come with us. We're going to show you a sick line. Don't tell anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, cool. No problem. And I just got connected with those dudes in Baker. You know,
don't spread your secret in Brooklyn about this line.
exactly. You know, and that's just a vibe. And it was just like, it was just so cool, man. And people were just chill, normal. It was nothing about like what type of fashion or whatever. Only thing that mattered if your shit was Gore-Tex.
Yeah.
Because it dumps out there.
Yeah.
And you got to have good gear. I went just like old fucking snowboarding shit. I'm getting like soaking wet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, yo, I gotta step my game up. So Baker was my first real mountain, first national state park experience. And that's where the idea for Hoods to Woods popped in my head that winter, 2001. I said, yo, I gotta bring this back to the hood. I gotta share it with the community because it's just too dope. You know, it's fun. I feel like I'm a kid. Yeah. You don't think about work, money, nothing. And I just felt like in the hood, you know, we really need that. We really need to make that connection with nature.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm not from where you're from, but I respect that 1,000%. Anyone. Yeah, really. That's like just nature, so key to life.
Definitely.
It's a gift.
Oh yeah.
That people take for granted.
Big time. Yo, and it helps with like people who may be dealing with, you know, depression.
Oh, I have crazy anxiety, and I have to go outside. I have to go outside, and it helps. I don't need any medication. If I just go outside 30 minutes a day, then I'm on a good mellow path, always.
It's medicine, bro.
It's a medicine.
It's like, I tell everyone, I say, yo, this snowboarding, it's not just about this board here, this binding, this gear, you know, that's the business side, you know, but there's like a health side to it that's good. And you see it in the kids in Hoods to Woods, a lot of them, they never had to stretch like that before. They've been down.
Yeah.
They're putting the bindings, and to see them struggle, and as they progress in the season, they become more flexible, you know, and you just see kids happy and get a chance to get away from the city.
Yep.
Because doing this for 13 years in the beginning, I said, yo, am I doing the right thing? All the problems in the hood, is snowboarding something that, you know, my community needs? You know, am I trying to introduce them to like some luxury sport, you know, when we have all these problems? But I realize the health impact, the mental wellness impact. And I realize like, yo, bro, it's not about snowboarding, man. It's like a lot deeper than that.
Yeah. I think about that too. Like, cause I always wanted with nitro and stuff and somewhere, I want to like help people, like get people out. Cause I love this experience so much that I want to share with anyone, everyone. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're 12 years old forever. Right, yeah. It's like the best time. But then I struggle with that. What you're saying, like, are you like dangling like a unicorn? Like, check it out. It's great over here. Good luck coming back. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But like you said, you're not. You're introducing them to like the outdoor, and you're giving them that escape, that house,
mm-hmm. and an open door to say, okay, we serve boys and girls 11 to 18, but what happens after you turn 19?
Yeah.
And we said, no, let these kids come back to become volunteers.
Yeah.
So you keep the door open and keep it going, and not just like one experience and say, okay, we got to get these numbers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get it, you know, but it's a lot deeper than that. It's about the experience. And we kind of have like a family vibe, you see, with my mom volunteering on the bus.
Sick.
And, you know, everyone's joking and laughing, you know, and I guess now things are moving and people are like, yo, we want to bring Hoods to Woods to Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, and eventually, you know, we'll get there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad that we just, for over a decade, Omar and I just did it from the bottom of our hearts.
How'd you guys start? How'd you guys meet, you and Omar?
I met Omar at a film screening. I did like a 15-minute short film called Hoods to Woods about my experience at Mount Baker, because I did this short film because I got tired of telling the story over and over and over.
Just making a movie.
Yeah, because like, yo, how'd you get into it? I said, you know what? Maybe if I do like a short film, then I could just show people, maybe put it online and people could kind of see the story, and maybe like I'll meet other people out there like me, whatever. So did a film screening in the city, and that's when I met Omar. We have a mutual friend, John Deuce. Shout out John Deuce. He said, yo, you got to meet Omar. Omar, you got to meet Deca. Both you guys are like into snowboarding. Deca's a cool, outstanding dude, whatever. So Omar came to the screening, and I will never forget at the end of the screening, the ending of the film was like, I want to bring this to the community. Yeah. That's my dream, because people need to experience this. So when the film ended, I had a Q&A, and like, I just remember like Omar, his face, he was just like, yo, I got a question. Yo, you've been to all those places. Yo, I haven't been, that's amazing. I've been snowboarding longer than you, and you've been traveling. So afterwards, we just kicked it, and he said, yo, like I wanna help. I said, all right. And that's how we met at the film screening for like Hoods to Woods. And then we just started carpooling, with another volunteer. Shout out Laura Smith. Two Honda Civics with four kids from Bed-Stuy.
I love that.
To like a full bus, you know, surreal.
How long ago was that? The two Honda Civics.
That was 2009. I believe.
13 years later, bus.
Yeah, 2009.
Buses.
Yep.
Oh, that's amazing. Yep. That's. Yeah, so much respect.
We were just going, man, because like, I kept calling Mountain Creek like 50 times a day until someone answered, like, no. Hello, hello, hello. And finally, the manager called me back, said, okay, we can help you, get you some lift tickets. And at the time, I knew the executive director from Burton Chill.
Yeah.
You know, shout out Lauren.
Yeah.
She's like, yo, this is dope. I saw your film. I want to help you guys. We have a gear room. You guys can use the gear room at Mountain Creek. So it's pretty dope to come here, start here, go over to Big Boulder. And we left Big Boulder because Big Boulder got bought out.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was done. And Pat Morgan, he's been a longtime supporter, you know.
It's people like that are so key.
Exactly. It's the snowboard community. And that's what makes the snowboarding community special.
Yeah.
You know, especially being a person of color, where life may be difficult in certain circles, but like, yo, snowboarding community just embraced me, man. Like, just, yo, bro, you're down. And it was kind of like, yo, sometimes you expect things to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a couple situations where people may ask you something, but sometimes we may have our guard up. Like, I was at Red Mountain, guys like, what kind of braids are those? I said, yo, those are dreadlocks, man. Dreadlocks? I said, you know, like Bob Marley? I don't know Bob Marley. I'm like,
it's just two worlds.
Let me just stop talking. Guy's like, yo, you must make a lot of money to come out here. I said, I got a job just like everyone.
Yeah.
But then I see where it's coming from, because if you're local, you don't have to fly and pay for a hotel.
No.
Costs money.
Yeah.
You know? And then I said, yeah, I did come a long way from the projects to being able to afford to travel with some of my friends who are just still on the block.
Yeah.
Just surviving.
Yeah. What was in you, like, what was the drive? Because it's kind of special that you, like, you had that drive to go snowboarding and then continue doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where I think a lot of people, you do it, I guess, what happened, I think, is you kind of just messed up. You bought the full setup, so you just had to do it.
Yeah, I mean.
No, but you, like, what's the drive in you to start Hoods to Woods, to make the move, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Show people about this shit. Wanting to share a part of yourself and all your time, because time is money, time is life,
right.
And it seems like you've shared a lot of your time just to give people the opportunity to go snowboarding or just get outside. What's the personal drive for that?
Yeah, you know, the drive, it just comes from the story of my life, you know, growing up in the hood and being inside that invisible barrier that you built because of society and racism and things like that. And, you know, being harassed by police and, you know, and being fortunate enough to have that drive, partly due to my mom, because she knew we didn't live in the best environment. And I was getting in trouble as a kid. And we had those discussions like, yo, you're not going to end up anywhere.
Yeah.
You're going to end up in jail, prison. You're going to get dead. You know, you're going to get shot like your friends. And, you know, so I just took all of those things. And then, like, you know, I just got tired, man, because things just start getting crazy. And, you know, people were, like, getting shot, you know, just the violence, you know. And I was just like, you know what? And I'll never forget when my sister, when she got pregnant and when my nephew was born. At that time, like, the Nas album had dropped. And he has a song called The World Is Yours.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I heard that song and I saw the video, I was just like, yeah, yeah, that's it. The world is yours. I would look at him and say, yo, I got to be a good role model for him because his dad is in prison. Who's going to look out for him? So it's just like several things that inspired me. But I just think I just had that thing inside me, you know, as a kid, you know, where I was always looking in, oh, I got a credit, Fresh Air Fund. It's a nonprofit and they would take kids from the city, and you would stay in a farm or a sleepaway camp.
Yeah.
And I stayed, at the time, we lived in Brownsville, Brooklyn. And I stayed upstate New York with a family, the Brubaker family, in Whitesville, New York. So the irony, Brownsville, Whitesville. So that was the first time I got out the hood. I was like 10. And I was like, wow, these people living, like, eating three times a day, shit. Like, yo, they got a pond, and there's no shootouts. It's like, you know?
Yeah.
So I had those elements, so it was dope that my mom took us to art museums, and because I'm, you know, I'm an artist.
Yeah.
You know? So those things inspired me. So when I made the call to Mountain Creek, I said, no, I'm going to keep calling, because, you know, after school, Parsons, you know, I realized I had a certain level of talent and hard work and dedication that I could, that I can do this, because I was around kids who come from better, you know, economic environments than I do.
Yeah.
And the professors are like, wow, this is great. You know, and I said, man, I'm going to quit this place. I don't know. Same thing with snowboarding. Oh, man, freshman year, I don't know. First semester, this shit is hard. Professor was like, no one gets an A unless you're Pablo Picasso. And I get my grades, and it's like, you know, you call it in. And I'm like fucking upset. My friend's like, what's wrong? I said, yo, man, I just got my grades. What'd you get? I said, all I got was like a 3.9. He said, 3.9? Bro, that's good. See, I'm from public school.
I know.
I'm like, three. Nah, that's 100
a
is good.
Number.
He said, bro, a 4.0 is like 100. You practically got like 100. I said, what?
Sick.
And this is like the mental thing. You know, you hold yourself back.
Yeah.
But after that shit, it was just like,
do anything.
Never say never. Go with it. And I just wanted to share this experience with the community, because I remember what it was like. Not to have nothing, not to have positive role models. And role models were like drug dealers in the hood. Like, yo, work for me. 80s was crazy, man. You know, my mom was like, yo, I read the NPR article. Who tried to make you sell drugs? I'm going to beat their ass. And I said, Ma, that was everywhere.
I'm going to find them.
You know?
It was a long time ago, and it was everywhere.
Yeah, so that's the inspiration, man. Just all of those things that inspired me to want to just do something. And knowing that how hard that shit is,
yeah,
to do something positive, you might not get support out the gate. But, like, you know, Omar and I, man, that was like the universe just long.
Snowboarding, getting the community, building the community, sharing the love for it. I'm so sick. Come a long ways from when you started. Because how many other snowboarders were around your area when you started?
Man, in my
Brooklyn,
hood?
Yeah.
I started running into other snowboarders at Hunter.
At Hunter.
Black snowboard. Mm-hmm. So when you see another person of color, it's like, hey, what's up, man? Where you from?
Yeah, instantly.
It's like, all the better. Like, what? You out here too? You know? So I started running into more people, you know, on the mountain, and I just, before Hoods to Woods, I was trying to recruit everyone. Yo, dude, you gotta come out, you gotta go, no, man. I said, bro, it's dope. You know, so just meeting other people. And one time I was in the laundromat, saw a dude looking at a snowboard magazine.
In the laundromat.
And I'm like, yo, you snowboard? He's like, yeah, I ride. I said, yo, I ride too. He said, really? Oh. Which is rare. You're going to meet someone else, you know? And, you know, shout out to my man, Mello. Mello was like, oh, this guy's probably lying.
For sure.
You know? And then we go out to, like, Hunter. He's like, holy shit, you snowboard. Because I was at Baker for a month.
Yeah, you were good then.
So when I
came
back
you were good.
People were like, holy crap. Like, you just, after that, it was just like, yo, just Go, man. I spent so much fucking money on snowboarding, bro. Like, ridiculous, man.
Do you regret it?
Hell no.
No.
Hell no. That shit keeps me sane. It keeps me happy. You know, in the program, before we got grant money, you know, we were doing this from our hearts.
Yep.
And my paycheck for me was seeing the kids smile. Like, today, Sinai, you know, We laced her with a 686 suit. She's crying, you know, because her life is not easy. But to come here to a safe space and be appreciated is great, man. And this is the vibe. So I want to do that shit 1,000 times. 10,000 times.
I hope you do.
Yeah, see, this is my mentality. The deck of mentality. Like, yo, Brooklyn, yo, we here.
Go, spreading what? It. That's so sick. That's so sick. Dude, so, how about here? No, you're just like a positive ball of energy just flying through planet Earth right now. I love that.
Yeah, man, because that's what snowboarding is, man. You know, this shit is like, you know, a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle, standing sideways, going down the mountain with your friends.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, if this shit could be free, he's like, no, slow down. This is business. Capitalism, got to get money. So how can you fit in? How could I use my talents to, to benefit the organization and the community? And back in the day, I was like, yo, we're going to do this. Everyone's like, oh, you're doing too much. That's not how a nonprofit functions. And then fast forward, like, everyone's on smartphones.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, anyone with a skill set for business and creativity, because I used to feel like, yo, I'm doing too much. It's a gift and a curse.
Yep.
Should I just stay being creative? Or should I just dump creativity and just be a business person?
Yep.
And fast forward now, 13 years later, it's like...
Same thing.
And it's like, okay, you're creative, you're a business person, you see trends, you're a snowboarder. There's no college for that. There's no... Yep. That's just life. And yep. Now companies are like looking for people.
Yeah.
So hopefully some of the kids that come through our doors will get connected, you know, with job opportunities, you know, because it's up to them. Because I feel like just let the kids decide what they want to do and don't try to shove an agenda down their throats.
Yeah, I mean, that's what snowboarding is. It's just like an open door, mm-hmm. And you can fall, walk, run, jump any way you want through that door.
Exactly.
Right? No matter what, there's no constrictions. It's up to you. You can just go, so you can turn around and leave if you want to. That's cool. What values has snowboarding, or what value has snowboarding brought to your life?
It just taught me about never quitting. Like, don't give up, you know, just keep going. And it taught me to be patient, right? And it humbles me, because when you go out to certain places, you just look out like, yo, this is beautiful. This is amazing. Dude, like, I'm from the projects, you know, and I'm out here and I'm doing this. This is crazy, you know? It's still like, it's moments of like, yeah, but every once in a while there's those humbling moments, and only nature can do that. Like,
yeah.
It's like you can have all the fucking technology in the world, but there's nothing like nature. Mountains form like freaking millions of years, tectonic plates pushing in to each other, and we slide down them shits, bro.
We slide down. It's true. No, yeah, those moments, yeah. Like, I mean, you must have so... I get those moments. I'm from, like, Minnesota, right? And I get to just sit... I'm here. We were here Thursday. Thursday. No snow on the ground. We're going up, right? Uh-huh. Snow on the run, snow on the ground. And I'm just like, this is so sick. I'm just here. Hour outside of New York City, just doing this. This is so sick. Coming from Norway, doing... Like, it's amazing. It brings so much joy, opportunity, adventure to your lives if you let it.
Exactly. And that's the thing, like, traveling. I got my first passport because of snowboarding.
That's so
I went
sick.
To Argentina, to Las Leñas, with 6 other Americans. And, you know, I was like, man, all right, Argentina. Wow, the Andes. I've been watching, like... so much stuff from like National Geographic. You see all these documentaries and you go and you see the Andes in person, and just how the terrain is, how it's different from the Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's like, it's mind blowing. Like, snowboarding just opened the world, you know. In that moment I was like, bro, The world is your playground. Mm-hmm. You know, just look at the world in a different view. And like, and I was like on a quest, like, yo, where can I find? And I said, yo, is there snowboarding in Africa? Yo, try to find out. And I said, yo, damn, yo, they have snowboarding in Japan? What? Hokkaido? Oh, I got, oh man, I don't have money, shit.
Go everywhere. You want to go everywhere.
And after that, I was like, I just want to work and make money so I can do this.
Yeah.
Like, nothing else, you know? And I guess it just led me, you know, down this path where I just say, you know what? You know, you're special. You have something to share to the world, right? And to the community. So, yeah, why? You got to do this because it's just that hood lingo. It's like that hood swag, you know, that's just natural to us. And being able to talk to young people so they can see themselves in you to project themselves into the future, because some people don't have that capability. And snowboarding does that because it takes away a lot of the crazy stuff in your head. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the best ideas come from, like, the lift chair.
Yep.
But just being out here riding.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing the kids, like, yo, wait a minute, yo, do that again? Like, today, kid, what, city bike with the snowboard? Like, yo, I'm late for the bus. I said, yo, that's
made
crazy.
Made my day. That made my day.
Crazy.
But it's right, that's a good point. Like, you guys, yeah, you guys are the perfect role models. And the snowboarding situation, bringing people out of their element, and you get here, then they can see that it's like, this is fun, it's for everyone, just get it. That's so good. And you, right, this is insane. This is the passion you have, right? It's so sick. I don't even know what to ask, just let Ryan just talk. No, I do have, you could just hit it on again, like, what do you think a day like today does for the kids that come up here?
A day like today, for the kids, like every other day, it just gives them a safe space to learn how to ride. First thing, right? We want to make sure everyone knows how to ride, etiquette, how to be safe on the mountain, all those things. But, you know, it makes them happy because, like, you know, one kid, you know, deals with a lot of drama at home. And so this was like her getaway from that environment.
Yeah.
You know, like the young lady, you know, and for her, that made me realize my job is important, when I used to think, like, am I doing the right thing? There's so many problems in the world. So many problems in the hood, right?
Yeah.
Post-traumatic stress disorder, all those things. And I'm introducing them to snowboarding. How does that stop, blah, 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 in the community, all the bad things? Like, no, it does great things for the mind. It's prefrontal cortex functioning. You know, being able to make decisions when your environment may push you into another direction. Like, this is the spark. And I will never forget one day back in the day, I saw some kids in my program on the corner, like, just debating, arguing with some other kids. So I'm walking across the street and I'm like, what's going on? Walk over, like, guys, what's going on? Oh, no, yo, Decker, yo, he trying to say global warming ain't real. And we telling him global warming is real because they've been snowboarding for like 7 years, 6 years. They know what the seasons are. They pay attention to the weather. It's almost like, I always say that, how can you get people to want to protect the outdoors when they haven't even been out?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because once they go out, they see it, like, this is why we need to protect these spaces. So I said, yo, these kids are becoming mountaineers without me even trying. And they're arguing about global warming on Malcolm X Boulevard in Bed-Stuy.
So sick.
You know, my kids in my program, like, dude,
that's next, you know, level.
It's like, I got stories, bro. It's like, it's just like, what? What? What?
I bet you never pictured that in a million years.
Never.
That would be discussion on the corner between the kids.
Never.
That's so
never.
And that's who's snowboarding.
It's exactly, man. From walking around the neighborhood with a firearm at my waist, getting in trouble doing dumb shit, to like doing this and seeing this logo and what it represents to the place where the bus pulled up in front of the projects I grew up in to get these kids out on the mountain. And for like the first decade, there weren't a lot of grant options. Yeah. And now, you know, we have Cher Winter. We got a grant. Shout out Cher Winter.
Yeah.
You know, so the brands are coming forward because I think like after the whole Black Lives Matter situation, everybody was like, oh, they're burning down police precincts? Holy shit. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know? Yeah. So I just told, you know, my brother, I said, listen, you know, I know this is a moment that we can get people's attention because we got so much support and like new followers just because of that.
Yep.
And I said, damn, why does the country got to burn down for people to wake up and see how important these programs are? But at the same time, it's our duty to make sure that we educate people and we use our platforms. You know, like we launched a podcast. Mm-hmm. We have a podcast. Mm-hmm. Let's do what's a podcast. We want to give something back to the snowboard community and just talk about snowboarding, art, culture, music, you know, on our platform. Like Black History Month, we try to show people, like, yo, it was an African-American that went to the North Pole, Matthew Henson. And people were like, what? I didn't know that, you know? Uh-huh. So it's dope, you know, but it's up to us to make sure that, you know, we educate the community. Not just being here, your presence, but having that dialogue and that discussion. And it's amazing that a piece of wood, fiberglass, plastic, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Lacquer can become the key for people to come together. It's amazing.
It's crazy.
It is crazy, man. It's just like, dude, like, yo, where are you going to go next?
Thank you all for listening. See you in the next episode. And in the meantime, do yourself a favor. Go snowboarding.